Welcome back, everybody, to another sexy episode of Red, White, and Mystery Stories, the podcast where we combine our two favorite things, right?
Drinking and mysteries.
The intrigue. Suspense. We'll have drama. And I'm Patrick Dunn.
I'm Jill Buck.
And we are finally in the same room after many, many episodes.
Like sure.
Five, maybe?
Five or so episodes. We're finally in the same room together again.
In the real world, though, it's like been 2 years.
Probably. Yeah, it's been a while, and it's kind of awesome.
It's been a hot, hot minute since we've last been in the same breathing space.
Yes. And we actually have a special guest appearance today for Science Smackdown.
Yes, America's favorite segment. You might remember him from the Bridgewater Triangle episode.
Bridgewater Triangle. And I believe in one of our other episodes, he had a quote that we read into record.
Yes, the last episode we did, which was...
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that was regarding Yosemite and the missing children.
Yes, because I had a burning question on curses.
Yes. Because of the supposed native people's curse on the white man.
Yes, so fuck us white men.
Mm-hmm.
Literally and figuratively.
We'll see what happens after the rum.
Well, yeah. Have we been cursed? I don't think so, but we don't know. All right.
So would our special guest like to introduce himself?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Jason Hebert. I'm a quasi-specialist on random science facts, I guess.
When we have a question, when we have like a burn-in question, we don't understand the chemistry behind ghosts or...
The chemistry behind ghosts?
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a chemistry. If ghosts are real, if they exist, there's got to be some kind of...
There has to be something scientific.
Plasma.
Behind it to, like, back it up.
I'm just thinking Ghostbusters, like Slimer leaving that goo everywhere.
Yeah. Ectoplasm.
Yeah, I believe my scientific answer was an ecto-cooler.
Yeah.
Just to give you guys a basis on how scientific my knowledge base can get.
It's delicious and sweet.
Gooey.
Yeah, and gooey and...
And it looks like it might be hard to clean. I bet that shit stains based on Ghostbusters.
It glows, too, so I want... You know, like, if you ever crack
like
open
radioactive.
A...
radioactive.
Yeah. You crack open, like, a glow stick, and you get that stuff everywhere, and it's just, like, a... Your sheets glow for the next 4 days.
Maybe your sheets are glowing for other reasons, Patrick.
We don't know. Let's get Room Raiders in here. MTV's Room Raiders to see things out.
It only glows under a black light.
Yeah. That's why I don't have any black lights in this house. All right. What are we going to talk about today? This is an episode that we tried to do before.
Yes.
We actually did record it. It was like 8 hours long. I don't even remember what we talked about. We were drunk.
And there was
a glitch.
Technical malfunction of equipment or something. And I just got a text message like 2 weeks later that said, yeah, so we'll need to do that one again. You can't hear us at all.
Yeah, well, the universe, I think... set this up for us, because now we have our scientist here, who's an expert, quote-unquote expert in this subject.
Yes.
He's actually making crazy notes right now. He actually has a pencil, a fucking pencil, like when you sharpen the number 2 pencil that you like, do tests with.
And a pad of paper. He's pro. He brought that shit with him, man.
Because I was gonna say, I don't think there's any fucking notebooks in my house right now.
No, he's professional all the way. He's like taking notes and like making graphs and charts and stuff for us.
Yeah, he's got one of those like triangular shaped rulers that you make stuff like. You know.
Oh yeah.
What are those called?
Protractor.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, throwback to like high school geometry.
It's been a long time since I've been. I don't think I did.
That looks like a very, very well constructed graph, there, sweetie.
Yeah,
I'm charting the alcohol content in my body right now.
Oh
yeah.
I thought you're.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't even think we said the name of the mystery yet.
Oh, we haven't. I don't think we've gotten there.
All right. So this week we are going to ask a burning question: are we living in a computer simulation?
This is one that everyone should be worried about.
Yes. Just imagine it is the mid-1990s. It's 1994. And with a click of a mouse, you have the godlike ability that grants you asshole tendencies to think wipe an entire city off the face of a planet is an okay thing to do. I'm talking about SimCity. You know, you've all played it. SimCity on SimCity 2000, SimCity regular on Super Nintendo.
Oh, I remember
The Sims?
Yes, The Sims we played on Facebook for a while.
Yeah.
When we were working back in the call center.
Yeah.
And I remember coming into work and being like, my character did this, and yeah. I found you on the world today, and we're going to be friends now.
Yeah, I'm like, I put my character in the pool, then I took the ladder away, so I just like watched it drown, and there was like a floating skeleton in my pool. I'm gory as fuck when it comes to the computer.
Yes.
So, file... You go to file, event, natural disasters, and UFO invasion, and then it's done, all done. Just like that, your small little utopia you spent the whole summer crafting is wiped out by an alien species, and Jeff Goldblum was nowhere to be found. Near Pooville, that was the name of my town, Pooville. To upload a computer virus to the mothership.
Sounds awfully Susian. Pooville.
Yeah.
All the poos of Pooville.
Yeah. Shout out to The Grinch and Dr. Seuss. And
I got to say, poos of Pooville also makes me think of South Park and Mr. Henke.
Yeah, there goes our first South Park reference of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, there will amongst many.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure there's going to be plenty.
Yeah. So
Howdy-ho.
Have you ever thought about your digital citizens of Pooville that you just killed with like one mouse click in seconds?
I honestly...
Heartlessly?
I didn't really kill anybody outright. I just got bored with it and abandoned the whole thing and left them to their own devices. And I'm pretty sure they probably withered and died horrible deaths.
Or either that, they're left on their own and they don't know how to function. They don't know how to go to their kitchen and whip up some scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I bet if I logged into it now, they're like all just... It's like dystopian society.
Yeah.
You know, they're all wearing like the skins of their enemies as clothes, and they've got like face paint on.
Yeah, it's like
rudimentary weapons.
Doesn't that happen in a Trios of Horrors episode of The Simpsons where like Lisa creates this little world out of like her spit or something?
Her tooth.
It's on
her tooth, and they shrink her down, and like she's their god, and they have like statues to her.
Yeah.
Fun fact: they also did that in an early episode of South Park with the sea creatures.
Sea monkey things, right?
The sea monkey things, where Cartman gets sea monkeys, and he's convinced that they're going to be like they look on the box, where they're going to like create this little society.
Yeah, they're like happy characters, smiley faces.
He's all pissy because it's just brine shrimp when he gets it, but then the teacher dies, Miss Chokes on Dick dies, and after they had poured them in her coffee as a prank, and they're convinced that they killed her with the sea monkeys. So on the news, it's saying how they found semen in her stomach, and they're like, they're gonna find the sea women too. And they go to the morgue and like take the vial of semen and dump it back in the fish tank where the sea monkeys were, and it like the semen like somehow merges with the brine shrimp that are left, and it actually creates sea people that have this like thriving society.
Ooh. All right, well, hot scoop, if you wanna create a new species, just go down to your local Toys R Us. Actually, you can't go there anymore. Go to can you even get sea monkeys anymore?
Or
is
it like
yes, you can.
Is it like illegal now? I don't know. Like,
I mean, you can probably get them at like a fish store or something, because I think they're food for some of the fish that people keep in their tanks.
Really?
So you can probably like go get some brine shrimp and, you know, then go down a dark alley and get some semen.
Yeah. Or just go anywhere, really.
Yeah, really.
Semen's freely available, you know.
Everywhere, especially if you're a woman. You're just like, if you're women like out there listening to this, obviously you know you just turn a corner and you could have the chance of like semen just being there waiting for you.
It's just in tubes, ready to expel itself upon the world.
And one hot scoop.
Sure. Yeah.
The hottest scoop you heard today. Semen is everywhere. There should be like a you know.
That's the real life horror story for us women. I gotta say, it's just semen everywhere.
I mean, for everyone in general, I mean, you can slip in it.
Ew.
It's like the banana peel.
Oh, that's what Mario's throwing out of his cart.
Oh.
That's not okay.
Well, they couldn't use semen in a rated G video game. So
it's
they
true.
Had to.
They had to change it to a banana, which oddly phallic.
Yeah. Well, hey.
What was Mario trying to say there?
It's the Mushroom Kingdom.
Ah.
All right. So do you know how far back this computer simulation theory goes? Have we ever talked about this? I believe we have in the previous recorded episode.
We did, and it goes back a long time.
A long time.
I was surprised by this factoid.
Yeah, this goes back to 17th century, which is, what, the 1600s?
Sure.
Yeah, because I believe the century number is always ahead of whatever the year began,
yes,
right?
Because we're in the 2000s and it's the 21st century.
Yeah.
So yes.
It's the 21st century. We should have like an echo effect right there.
We'll add it in post.
In the year 2000.
In the year 25.
So, way back, 17th century, in France, of all fucking places, there was, I'm going to say his name wrong. So, people back then didn't even have the notion of technology whatsoever.
Right.
Nothing. Like, we wrote on, like, scrolls and our
papyrus quills.
Yeah, papyrus.
And chiseled things into rocks.
Did they do that in 17th century? I feel like they would have had...
Well, there was still a lot of rock chiseling for anything that needed to be, like, remembered.
That was, like the hard copy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that where they get the word hard copy from?
Yeah.
Oh, is that true? Very hard copy.
is that accurate? Because that was just like a wild guess.
I honestly don't think so. Why does this keep like falling?
The mic I think is too heavy for the stand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here, let's do that. Maybe that'll.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm fucking
our intern.
With the
microphone. Shall we introduce our intern?
I'll let you introduce our intern.
All right, so we finally got an intern. We're like a few episodes in. We're popular enough to hire. We went down to the local community college, made a fake ad on Craigslist, said we needed an intern to help us with all our tech, and we got Bruce. We're gonna call him Bruce the Produce.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. He didn't want us to use his name. We might have to bleep that out.
All right. Well, we'll have him edit that out. Yeah. Then Bruce, edit out your name, okay, Bruce?
All right. So. When the mic falls, he's just going to have to hold the mic for Jill.
Yep.
So, good
we'll
thing.
Get him an energy bar. He'll
yeah,
be fine.
Good thing he's very muscular. So you can hold up that that heavy microphone, that heavy karaoke mic that costs $5 at your local Best Buy. Ad right there. Send us money. Send us money so we can buy more heavy microphones. So we can pay Bruce.
Future sponsor of the podcast.
Bruce wants cash.
He does.
Bruce wants to buy beer. He's not even 21, so I was going to say we can send him out to get us some more Kraken rum, but...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we can give him my ID. He kind of looks like me, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he can pass.
We'll go with that.
He can pass, right? We have the same hair color.
Yeah, you know.
He's got a little bit of facial hair.
Yeah.
Let's emphasize that you just asked for Kraken rum, yeah. Not crack and rum.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Like the mythical sea creature. Yeah. That's the sound the Kraken makes. We went on YouTube the other day and we investigated very thoroughly because we were curious what noise a Kraken makes. It's not a narwhal. It's not a dolphin. It's not a killer whale. It's not a weird killer whale morphed with like a pug.
It's not the beady wheel from the Boston area.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Kraken.
It is.
It's like an octopi.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's more supposed to be like colossal squid type creature, and right?
It's bigger than boats.
Yeah, it totally was like the...
Killer of men.
Yeah, and it was like the henchman of the bad guy in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah, old Greg. Yeah. Call back to a previous ep. Listen to our galaxy of episodes, please.
Some Baileys.
Yeah.
It just lives off of Baileys.
Yeah, so anyway, back in 17th century France, René Descartes? Descartes. I like that. Okay.
Hey.
Shout out to our scientist here.
Thank you.
He was up all night reading Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yep.
Fact checking for us. So, René, say it again.
Descartes.
Okay. You got to say this a lot of times for me. I don't remember this stuff. So, he believed in the probability that an undetectable even... he believed in the probability that an undetectable evil demon... is responsible for shaping our perceptions of the world. So, did a French man living in 1600 Europe just, like, believe in this matrixy type world?
Maybe he was, like, a user.
Drug user?
Well, no, I was thinking, like, okay, so 13th floor, like, there you can, like, log into the game.
Okay.
And so maybe he's, like, somebody logging into his character in the game, but he's, like, against... like, the use of the game because we have our own consciousness, so he's trying to, like, make it known.
Yeah.
He's trying to, like, work it in with, you know, what the characters actually understand.
Sidestep.
Yeah.
Jill made reference to 13th Floor, the 1999 cinematic classic starring our our gal pal, Gretchen Moll, M-O-L, not M-U-L-L, like Jill previously thought. We had a pre-podcast argument about how to spell her last name.
Yes. And I am incorrect because I'm not looking at a computer, so that makes sense.
Vincent D'Onofrio of Law & Order Criminal Intent fame?
Yes, Criminal Intent.
Daredevil? Daredevil.
He plays Kingpin.
He's on Full Metal Jacket, I believe.
He was also in Men in Black.
Yep. This is the part of the podcast where we just name movies that Vincent D'Onofrio's been in.
Yes. He was great in Men in Black.
What should we call this segment? Vincent Videography? Should we have a theme song? The Kingpin Corner? Kingpin Corner with a K?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to Kingpin Corner. This is the part of the podcast where we talk about Vincent D'Onofrio movies.
Yes. And in this specific movie, he actually plays two different characters, which is kind of fantastic. And they're very different characters, and he does so well with the role, and it's great.
Is he the bartender?
Yes, he is the bartender in, what was it, 1940?
We believed it's, no, late 30s, early 40s at Los Angeles.
That was 1920s. God. Look it up again. Oh, we had to look it up the last time we recorded this, too, because...
1937 Los Angeles.
All right, yeah. And I keep thinking the 1920s for some reason, and you're still right.
Well, that was Prohibition, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he wouldn't be a bartender. Well, okay. I mean... It could be like 1920.
Yeah.
I don't think there was there Los Angeles in 1920. I feel like Los Angeles is more of like a 1930s-y type things.
I mean, there were people there.
Well, I mean, I guess there was Hollywood in the 20s. Like that's where the old silver screen, silent queens.
Yeah, and there was like, you know.
Silent queens.
What?
Silent queens. Oh, I was like in Scream Queens, like, like Jamie Lee Curtis. And
yes.
Nev Campbell? She doesn't really scream. She's kind of like a fighter.
Nev Campbell's in Scream Queens?
She's Scream.
Scream. Like Scream Queens. Now I get where you're going.
Okay. She is a Scream Queen.
Like Janet Leigh from Psycho. You know, she screams and she gets murdered.
Yep.
But I think Nev Campbell's like a fighter. I don't really think she screamed. She cried a lot.
But she did. Yeah, she fought quite a bit. She was like, I am not going to die.
She was a ball buster.
Yeah. Which kind of fits in with like her...
Motif.
Yeah. I feel like that kind of fits in with, like, her characters spanning movies. Like, she was kind of a... Well, she was, like, subdued in the craft, but...
Yeah, well, she was burned. She had, like, skin burns.
Yeah, she was all, like, you know, self-conscious because she had, like, burn scars on her body. But then she became a ball buster when she, like, used her magic and the scars went away.
Yeah.
She, like, magically healed, and the doctors were like, this has never worked before, this weird treatment where we just stab your back with needles for no reason. Like,
and then the actress who plays Marsha Brady in the Brady Bunch movies loses all her hair.
Yes. Yeah.
Shout out to that movie. Shout out to that fucking movie. We love that movie. It stars a lot of great people. Nev Campbell's the only name I remember.
Yeah.
Fairuza Balk.
Oh, yeah. She's the crazy looking chick, right?
Yeah. She was in The Waterboy.
Yeah.
She was his girlfriend.
And the sequel to Wizard of Oz.
She was
the girl.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The one with, like, the rollerblader guys. Yeah. The wheeler.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, my God. I watched a movie when I was, like, seven, eight years old. I was scarred for my child. I was scarred more than Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Okay, well, you know, Labyrinth, I don't know. I think you're, like, just sensitive if you're scarred by Labyrinth.
Well, Return to Oz was very dark.
Yeah,
was,
I don't...
The queen that was, like, taking off her head to put on a new head.
Yeah.
That's probably why I wasn't allowed to watch it or something when I was a kid.
It was a whopping rated PG, so you know it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Parental guidance suggested.
Yeah. Back in the day, that was a big deal.
Yeah, like, they showed, like, boobs in PG movies, I think.
Yeah, right? It was a lot more lax.
Yeah, they could say, like, shit, like, I think they dropped, like, the S-bomb in E.T.,
I think you're right.
Yeah, they do, because the older bro says, like, don't be a shithead to...
Yeah!
To Henry, is that his name? Elliot.
Elliot.
Henry.
Yeah, like, Henry, where did you get that from?
I was going to say, I think I'm thinking of the O. Henry bar, but it's fucking Reese's Pieces. That's
not even close.
Well, in my computer simulation world of E.T., E.T. is a completely different movie. His name is Henry.
And
it's an O. Henry bar. And that's why they always say, oh, Henry!
Yes. So, back to the 13th floor and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, yeah. Where were we?
Yeah,
pardon me.
So,
if you're here for an in-depth discussion about computer simulations, you're at the wrong podcast. Go somewhere else. If you want to hear us talk about Kingpin from Daredevil, you're in the right place.
Well, even before Vincent D'Onofrio, we were talking about René Descartes and his philosophy that demons were controlling our world.
Yeah. Shout out to the demon that lives in the middle of the earth and he's like pulling levers.
Yes, and that's where you go when you step into a sinkhole, Patrick.
Yes, you go down to that weird Rene Descartes demon world.
Yep, and the demon's like, here, you're going to pull this lever because I'm too tired to. You're now my slave.
And I picture him green, and he looks like the Green Goblin kind of from Spider-Man.
Oh, like
the
like
OG
that.
One, not like the movie one, but like...
Oh, not like the Willem Dafoe one.
Yeah, like the actual like Halloween costume one from like 1960, and he's like...
Yeah.
He has like long ass ears and like wears like a purple stocking hat.
Nice.
That's what I picture, like in the middle of the earth, and he has like this weird 1940s style computer down there.
Yeah.
And he's with like levers and light bulbs and he's like pulling them and it's great. It's amazing.
File, game world, settings, earthquake.
Yeah. He's like, fucking humans. Krakatoa.
So
Pompeii.
should we explain the like plot line of 13th Floor? Because
yes.
I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen it because unfortunately it came out around the same time as The Matrix.
Yes.
The Matrix like exploded and took over the world.
Yeah.
And unfortunately this other movie that was, in my opinion, so much better, just kind of went under the radar.
Alright, I got a game.
Okay.
I got a game for you. This is the Good Son scenario. Are you familiar with the Good Son movie?
With
Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like Sophie's Choice. So at the end of the movie, The Good Son, I'm going to spoil it.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood, they're like wrestling near a cliff. They fall off.
Macaulay Culkin's mother grabs both of their arms and is holding them over the cliff, trying to like drag them both up, but she's not strong enough to.
She can only save one.
Yep. And Macaulay Culkin's like this sociopath and he's like trying to guilt her into it. And Elijah Wood's just like, just please no, please no, please no.
Yeah, he's a sweet orphan with blue eyes.
Yep.
Very adorable.
It's her nephew who's already lost his mother and he's just saying, please no.
Yeah.
And her son's like, but mom, you love me. I love you so much. And he's being like this little sociopathic little shit. And she drops him.
And Macaulay Culkin also killed his younger brother in that movie and like dropped a dummy onto like oncoming traffic.
Yep.
And caused like a 52 car pileup accident.
And was starting to like fuck with his sister to like try and kill her off.
And he also shot a dog. I just have to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which right away.
Yep. You want that kid to
die. Death penalty. All right. So Good Son scenario. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix and Gretchen Mol from the 13th Floor are wrestling near a cliff and they accidentally roll off and Jill, you're nearby.
I'm not going to be able to hold either one. I'm weak as fuck.
Well, you were working out this day. You got like your Hulk strength, Wolverine strength or whatever.
Okay.
But you only have enough energy to pull one up. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix or Gretchen Mol, M-O-L, from the 13th Floor. And also, she was in another movie that I enjoyed with... she's on the Notorious Betty Page, in which she plays Betty Page. And she was also on HBO's Boardwalk Empire. She's from Connecticut, so she's kind of local to us.
So that's...
That's the pluses for her current column. Carrie Ann Moss, she's in The Matrix. She's in... Oh, she's on Jessica Jones on Netflix. Shout out to Jessica Jones.
I haven't actually watched that.
We're going to watch that today.
Okay.
She's in Memento.
Oh, yeah. That's
she
right.
She is. She's kind of a sadistic bitch in Memento, though.
But you can only save one.
All right.
What are you going to say?
Okay, based on their characters in the respective movies that we're talking about, so... Matrix and 13th Floor, based solely on those two characters, I have to go with Gretchen Mol.
That is the correct answer. You win $1,000.
I mean, she's...
You're going on an all-expense-paid trip to Greece? To see,
nothing.
I don't know, Chappaquiddick the movie live in person?
Yeah. In Greece?
Yeah, I don't know. They're there. For some reason, it's there.
Okay.
It's going to be on, what's that island, like Migos or something?
You're asking me geography?
That's
not
where you're
a good
going.
Idea.
You're going to go there in a little, like, a sexy boat.
Ooh, sexy boat.
Maybe you'll see a kraken.
Ooh.
Maybe not.
You know, I'm always on board for the kraken, especially if there's cola involved.
Yeah. Shout out to Kraken Rum. Okay, so we're saving Gretchen Mol. That's the correct answer. And you can get back to explaining the movie.
Okay, so
for our two listeners.
Yeah, for all our two listeners, basically myself, when I listen to this when I'm sober on my way to work.
You're like, what the fuck was I talking about?
Yeah, like,
girl, what was I talking about?
What the fuck did I had to drink?
Yeah, Kraken, by the way.
Yes. So basically, there is this company that has created this game that is a virtual world, and it takes place in 1937...
Los Angeles. Yeah, shout out to LA.
And so the idea is that, like, eventually they're going to market it when it's like up and running properly to like these rich people that can go in and they basically log in as one of the characters in this virtual world and they can go and experience that world like and have fun and do whatever the fuck they want. And then they log out and that character all of a sudden just wakes up somewhere random and has no memory of like the last like 3 hours and they're just like in some random part. They've like left their job and whatever. And
they're in shambles.
They're just completely in shambles. They smell like perfume. They don't understand what's going on. Yeah. When he comes back to it, like the little virtual character goes back into bed with his wife after the creator of the game has like logged out of him. He's like getting back into bed with the guy's wife and he like that the like guy logs out of his character. When they go back and they're like questioning that character, he's like, I come home smelling of perfume. I have no recollection of where I've been. And they're like, and this is all real to you? And he says, according to my wife, it's pretty real.
I just picture someone breaking in and spraying like White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor all over the place. Yeah. Like designer imposter CK1.
So anyway, the premise of this movie is these people work for this company and the guy that created this alternate reality gets killed.
Yeah.
So then the cops are like sniffing around trying to figure out who killed him. Sniffing around. It's McGruff the crime dog. Okay, you know, he's just sniffing around.
Perfume and sniffing around. And kind of.
Nice. So they're all trying to figure out who killed this guy and why and all this stuff. And this, like, random daughter that nobody knew about comes out of the woodwork. And you go along and you find out, oh, well, the reason that nobody knew about this daughter is because he doesn't have a daughter. And the person pretending to be his daughter is actually somebody from the real world who's logged into her character and is trying to shut down the simulation that the guy created because, bum, 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 they're also living in a simulation.
Oh, the 13th floor, which doesn't exist in this building, right?
Right. Like, is that the meaning? Well, the 13th like a secret floor. The 13th floor is where the game is all like warehoused and everything. It's like these giant.
Where the servers are.
Yeah, all the servers are. It's like giant computer banks and shit. And the one like nerdy guy played by Vincent D'Onofrio with like long hair.
He's like, actually.
Yeah, he like never goes outside. He doesn't know what the sun's like. And he's just like in this little cave with all of these servers and stuff. And like
plugging in wires and stuff.
Yeah, plugging and unplugging wires randomly just to make sure it works properly.
Doesn't it take place in the future too? It's like
it does.
It's like the 2030s or something.
Something like that.
But they still have 1990 technology.
Yeah.
They have like dial-up modems still.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the real future, like the real like actual world that the simulation is in, that the big simulation is in, is like even further in the future.
Yeah, it's like further in.
Yeah, there's like hovering things and you know,
like Marty McFly future type.
Yeah, and there the like the whole simulation is just like in this little like VR headset.
Yeah, isn't that like the scoop at the end?
Yeah,
like the hot
he's
scoop.
Just like laying in the bed and he's got the like VR thing on. And he takes it off and he's like, "Where the fuck am I?" And she's like, "You're in the real world and you're my husband now."
Welcome to the future.
This is my father.
Do you like my wings? They fly away. In the future, humans have wings. Hot scoop. All right. So, on that note, we watched that movie. I watched it like 10 years ago. Jill watched it like yesterday or something. I don't even know.
No, I just really like the movie, so I've seen it like a million times. But I saw it probably when it first was like out on VHS or something.
VHS of all fucking things.
Well, yeah, because I'm just going based on the...
You got a Blockbuster.
Yeah, well, I'm basing it off of the technology available at my uncle's house at the time because that's where I saw it for the first time was my uncle's house when we were up there visiting for a weekend. And he always had us like... He always had some movie that we just had to watch. Like one year it was a 12 Monkeys.
Ooh, yeah.
Also a great fucking movie. And then one year it was 13th Floor. And
shout out to Dystopian Futures.
Yeah, and it was just like awesome. He's big on the dystopian sci-fi shit.
So what's next? 14th something? 12 Monkeys, 13th Floor?
I'm guessing, yeah, there's got to be a 14.
1492.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a. I think that's a C. Columbus movie.
Yeah. C. Columbus. Yeah. 12 sea monkeys.
All right. Oh. So there's a reason why we're talking about all this crazy stuff, because are we living in a computer simulation? That is the question that we're going to talk about today. Back in 2003, a Swedish philosopher named Nick Bostrom revisited this idea that René Descartes.
Descartes. Yeah.
Just forget the S's there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, René. I almost said Rick. so, I'm thinking of Nick.
I mean, yeah. Well, all of
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I can think of Rick and Morty with the simulation.
Yeah, there. I just watched an episode too. So shout out to recurring themes in our life.
Boo.
Recurring.
Oh. All right. So 2003, Swedish philosopher Nick Bostrom, he revisited this idea. And he published like a famous simulation argument analyzing the possibility of human species, I guess they call it a post-human stage, where humankind has acquired most of the technological capabilities that one can currently show to be consistent with physical laws and with material and energy constraints. You have to explain that to me. We're dullards over here.
Yeah, okay, scientist.
Yeah, scientist smackdown. We're going to play the theme song right here. When the info is blazing and our brains are shot, science smackdown is a very cool spot. Science smackdown, it's a fact.
Well, basically what I think he was saying is that if all the physical laws that we have in the world as we know it, you know, taking into account gravity and mass and things like that, all of those have very rigid numbers and values and calculations that we can basically put into a computer and simulate it.
Okay.
I think that's where he's going with that.
All right. Well, thank you for giving that very simple explanation instead of me reading something that I read on Wikipedia. But all right. Bostrom argued that in a post-human stage, at least one of the following arguments is true. So the first argument is the fraction of human-level civilizations that reach a post-human stage is very close to zero. The second is the fraction of post-human civilizations that are interested in running ancestor simulations is very close to zero. And his third thing is the fraction of all people with our kind of experiences that are living in a computer simulation is very close to one. In layman's terms, what are we dealing with here?
So, you know, A, well, we have the technology to create a simulation in that scale with millions and actually I should say trillions and trillions of possible simulations and
scenarios
and scenarios and things like that. The second one had to do with if the pro human race will want to create a simulation, will our simulation be evolved around this time frame that we know it? That's what it's talking about. It's referring to us right now as the historic civilizations.
Okay. So if any one of those is true, then we will never reach that stage. Is that like humans will go extinct before we reach that post-humanity?
Yes,
stage?
That's
as long as one of those are true.
Yes, that's the other okay. What if?
Okay.
In order to even reach that technological savviness that we would need to be in order to create these simulations, us as a human race would have to reach that technological level, which we're actually questioning. Will we ever get there before we destroy ourselves?
So we're either never going to reach that point or we are the simulation.
Right.
Okay. That's wild stuff. Wild stuff. And it's just like, there's like a thought bubble right over my head with a big fucking question mark.
It's a head fuck.
Yeah. Or like a light bulb that just like, it blew up. I just don't know what's going on right now.
Glass shattered everywhere. We're picking little pieces of bloody glass up off the floor.
Yes. So we watched like an 8-minute video about computer simulation theories, and it was wild stuff. I literally cannot remember any of it except for that weird animation.
The animation is fantastic.
Yes.
And that would be the Kyrgyzot video.
Yeah, shout out to Kyrgyzot.
They are fantastic. They're on YouTube, and they're called Kyrgyzot in a nutshell, and they're basically summing up very complex ideas and trying to explain them so anybody could understand it, and they do a great job. And they do one about a computer simulation. It's called "Are We Living in a Simulation?"
Is reality real?
Yes.
Is reality real? And it's basically posing a question of, are we living in a simulation? Since so many people are like, have weird theories about this. And they talk about like five different pieces of criteria that would need to be true for us to possibly be living in a simulation. And I cannot remember the five, but...
Well, three of them are the ones that Patrick just mentioned.
Right, okay.
From Nick Bostrom's article.
Shout out to Nick. Come on the podcast. Tell us some hot scoops about your theories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tweet us at Red Wine Mystery.
Yeah.
Or, what's our email address?
RedWineMysteries@gmail.com.
Yeah, plural. Pluralize that shit. And we have a Facebook group, too. Go there.
Yep.
And I don't know. Fine. Just search for Red Wine Mystery Stories. It'll pop up. We'll add you. Just request to join. We'll add you. And
yeah, we really are not discriminating who we add to this group. Basically, if somebody we don't know requested to join, we would be so freaking excited.
Yeah. Back to our semen is everywhere story. There will be semen everywhere.
And I hope I'm not still in South Carolina when that happens.
You don't want to slip on it.
No.
Break your hip.
No.
All right. So... I already mentioned the three. There's two others. Do you have the two others, or do we have? Or
I don't know them off the top of my head, but I
can you paraphrase?
No, probably not. I'll think about it.
Okay. Well, if we are living in a computer simulation, is there proof? That is the burning question.
Yeah, because they talk about like as a civilization that would have the technology to create the simulation, because they would have to be able to simulate consciousness and all of this crap, but. A civilization that's advanced enough to actually do it, would they even want to bother, because it would be like us creating a simulation for ants, and it wouldn't really mean anything to us because ants have a completely different like frame of reference.
Yes, I believe in their scenario, they use, let's say an ant happens to stumble upon Six Flags amusement park.
Right.
And he would just look at people standing in line trying to get on roller coasters and fucking cotton candy and shit. And be like, why are these fucking stupid-ass people standing in this, like, long-ass line?
Right.
When they can just attack the cotton candy, because that's what ants do.
Right, and so, if we were trying to explain to an ant, like, the concept of, like, waiting in line to enjoy a ride and all these different things, the ant would have no concept of it because it's completely beyond their realm of understanding.
Yes.
And so, therefore, a civilization that has the
capability of creating a simulation explain it to us.
Exactly. They can't explain it to us because it would be like us trying to explain to an ant why we like to go to an amusement park.
Yeah.
Yeah. This theoretical pro-human race, you know, could in theory be like gods to us now.
Yeah.
Right.
And they could smite us if they want to.
Yeah.
Shout out to SimCity.
So why would they... You know, would they even be interested in creating simulations?
We like to play The Sims. We like to build a stupid family and, I don't know, have them go swimming for no reason, so...
And then take away the ladder so they then drown and they're just a little floating skeleton.
Yeah, so we can't question them because we like to do that kind of shit too, so...
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's entirely possible. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about The 13th Floor was, like, the mind-blowing part where the main character finds out what the guy that got killed was trying to convey to him.
Spoiler alert?
Yeah, spoiler all
right.
alert.
Fast forward, like, 30 seconds right now.
Yeah, so...
He tells
him to basically, he's talking about like the constraints of the programming and how to beat that, to be able to actually see that it's a simulation because it can't work fast enough to catch up with it and everything. You should pick a place that you would never go to, somewhere you can drive to, not somewhere you would have to fly to, and just get in your car and drive.
And don't tell anybody, don't write it down. Don't look it up on a map.
Exactly, just drive. And just, you know, don't take major highways, just go like back roads and just keep driving. And don't stop for anything. If you see like roadblocks and stuff, just drive right through them. And you'll eventually come to like the end of what the simulation can handle as far as generating the world. So you'll eventually start seeing that nothing's moving, and then you get further beyond that and it's just like a computer grid.
Yes. So think of, all right, so we believe that, you know, we're humans inside us, our organs and blood and all the stuff, but technically it doesn't exist. But if we take a knife and cut our arm off, then all of a sudden the computer's creating blood and
like
muscle tissue and bone and all this stuff. So it doesn't exist until it has to exist.
Exactly.
And the computer knows that we're going to do that.
Right.
But for some reason, you're trying to trick the computer. Just you got to act impulsively and don't think about it. I guess.
Just keep going.
Nike.
Commit to the role.
So, all right. This kind of leads me into the next topic. So, in a 2016 episode of Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast, Star Talk, Tyson chatted with a fellow physicist pal, Brian Green, about three pieces of evidence to look out for to prove the computer simulation theory. And the big one out of it all is glitches. So look for glitches. The real universe shouldn't have glitches, but computers are known to fuck up every now and then. So, you know.
I believe that's what happened the first time you recorded this podcast.
Yeah.
It was a massive glitch.
Yep. So, evidence we're living in a simulation.
Yeah. And we can't remember what we talked about. So
exactly. And that's totally a glitch in the matrix.
So
totally. So that's more like in the Matrix and everything.
Like
they
weird.
Talk about, you know, look out for glitches in the Matrix and deja vu, seeing something twice, like when Neo first goes in and he's like, whoa, major deja vu. And they're like,
the black
what?
Cat.
And he's like, that cat, I just saw it walk by, and then it walked by again. And they're like, oh my God. So that whole glitch in the Matrix thing is really, you know, where that's coming from.
Yeah, so just like anything can be a glitch. Like something disappears. Like just a vanishing person could be a glitch. You know, like this person was here.
A lot of paranormal could be a glitch.
Like a ghost. Like we see a ghost. It
Nessie
could be a glitch.
Could be a glitch.
UFOs
and everything. This just made me think of the X-Files, the more recent X-Files we watched. No, I forgot where I was going with that. Oh my God,
classic Jill. It's course correcting itself right now.
Yeah, I think, it was something to do with, it was the Mandela effect thing. The episode that dealt with the Mandela effect Mulder kept going like, it's an alternate reality or parallel universe, and Scully and the other guy just look at him and go, no, it's not. And he's like, but it could be. And they're like, no.
I love like the internalized humor of the X-Files. It's great.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I really enjoy the like little pieces. Yeah.
So another thing that I want to bring up is if a simulation is super advanced, it has the ability to rewind, erase the glitch, and then course correct itself. So think of like you accidentally walk off a ledge on Super Mario Brothers, and then you radically get the chance to do it over again because you have like an extra life. Like that wasn't supposed to happen.
Okay.
Kind of thing. That's the closest example I can get.
All right.
Make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that
wasn't supposed to happen. Mario was supposed to jump over, land on the next brick, and
jump
on the flagpole.
You totally hit the jump button, and he just like fucking walks right off the cliff. Like.
Yeah, the simulation can rewind and reprogram itself very quickly when it needs to. Like there might be times where it actually needs to accomplish something.
So like that whole Sinbad being a genie in a movie.
Yeah.
They just like said, you know what? That was a total fuck up. We're going to rewind. Nope. That was actually Kazam with Michael Jordan.
No, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep. I still suck at this.
Jill is going to be replaced on this podcast.
Michael Jordan was in Space Jam.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one. All right.
Shout out to Space Jam.
Glitch in the Matrix.
Another thing I was thinking about is kind of reminds me of like just the weird things that are in Mario Brothers. Like Mario Brothers, I think, is a very good way to relate to this theory, because you have the Minus World. Are you familiar with the Minus World in the very first Mario Brothers? This was a glitch in the game Mario Brothers where it transports you to a weird World 7-2, and over again you have to like relive this thing. So the level just keeps on going and going. You just keep on running until time runs out.
Okay.
And you get there in the first underground level. If you know at the very end where you can jump up and go over to the warp zone?
Yeah.
If you hit like a certain brick, you go like through the bricks and you fall down or something. I forget. It's been a while since I played it. But you end up in this strange world, 7-2. They call it the Minus World. I think it's negative 7-2.
Okay.
And it's just like a part of the level, and it just keeps repeating itself over and over again. And you just run until the time runs out.
Oh, that's kind of like the very last level. Where if you don't follow the right sequence, you end up just running and running forever, and
time
runs out and you die.
Yeah, so it's kind of like if you don't go like a certain path kind of thing.
Yeah, you have to go down the right pipe.
So I think...
And you have to do a sequence in that one too. So it's like the first one, you have to hit the right pipe, and then you again have to hit like the right... You have to go up like a set of steps in the air, and then you have to do the correct pipe. And if you get any of them wrong, it just brings you back to the freaking beginning.
So just think. So if
it's maddening.
If a computer video game programmer in the 80s just fucked up and just created this glitch of the Minus World, where you hit a certain brick and you fall into this weird world and you can't get out of it, that could certainly happen in our simulation world, I guess.
Interesting.
You could.
This is what makes people go crazy.
you can hit a spot which isn't supposed to exist, but it kind of it propels you forward.
So, yeah.
So think about it.
Yeah, that's like, gonna like warp my mind.
It's a place you're not supposed to be.
Into the mouth of madness.
Yeah. So like, you know,
people seen that movie?
Yes. No. So like, so let's say you end up somewhere you're not supposed to be, and someone's like, "Oh my god, I woke up and I was in this fucking crazy world, and all these fucking weird things were happening to me." So like, there could be real life minus worlds. We don't know. Ooh, I don't know. Like if anyone has,
doesn't the movie Pi have to deal with that? Like he wakes up at a time when everybody's supposed to be asleep or something, and the whole, like, the city is, like, moving itself around. Oh, that's
Dark World?
I thought it was Pi.
No.
I've never seen either of them, so I'm going to go...
Dark World.
I'm going to go with Dark World, I guess. Yes. Shout out to that.
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly.
I don't remember. I saw it a long time ago, and all I can remember is him, like, waking up, and the city is, like, moving itself around, and him, like, walking upside down on things. And
it might be Pi. I think it's actually talking about Pi. Like, I've seen clips of it.
Yeah, I swear
it was a Darren
Pi.
Aronofsky movie.
Yeah.
It was like his first like student film. It was like a student film.
Yeah, it's one that's like not
risky.
It's kind of like a cult classic, I feel like now. It's not like a big name.
Yeah. So
I watched it in like high school. So I mean, there's a lot of years in between then and now.
So another one of Neil deGrasse Tyson's theories of the to prove yourself that you're living in a simulation. An advanced simulation would never allow the beings living inside it to prove that their entire existence is a simulation. And, like, if we're in one, we're highly unlikely to prove it. So just put down that chalk, Will Hunton. We're never going to figure it out.
Well, you know, that just makes sense. So, like, basically, we don't have the ability to out-and-out prove we're in a simulation. So basically, that means we're in a simulation. That proves itself.
Yeah. So just think of, like, you create a family in The Sims.
Yeah.
They're never going to know that it's you on the other end. Like, telling them to answer the phone and call the neighbor.
Right.
And have them come over so you could make popcorn and fucking stare at a TV and do a weird dance in front of it.
That is precisely why we can't discover the grand unifying theory between the theory of relativity and quantum theory.
Yeah, because whatever you said.
Because there's one piece of the puzzle we can't scientifically prove.
Yeah, there's something preventing us from getting that point.
Yeah.
It's like it's a big wall that we can't get over.
It's a conspiracy. Yeah.
Conspiracy corner. All right. This is Mr. Tyson's last, and I might need some help on this one. So I don't know if it's true or not. I just take his words as truth. The math surrounding the Big Bang Theory doesn't quite add up, and that a lot of power was used to create one universe when in theory it could have possibly fueled multiple Big Bangs. I guess the Big Bang is really just one of many Big Bangs?
Potentially. And ooh, that could be like a multiverse theory too, right?
Ooh,
not
yeah,
just
I guess
a, so. Living in a simulation. That could be totally multiverse, like
thousands and thousands of
yeah, like
universes.
The Big Bang didn't just create our universe, it created a freaking bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandela Effect, it's totally a parallel universe. No, it's not, Boulder.
Yeah, see, I'm not a mathematician, so like I don't know the math. Like I don't know how to add the math around the Big Bang Theory. I don't know if it's
is
it math that you can just figure out, or do you have to like study it for like 20 years? And I'm like, oh, that's what it means.
I would say you'd probably have to study it for like a lifetime to really understand it.
As far as I know, we could kind of back calculate everything all the way down to like nanoseconds after the Big Bang occurred, but we can't get to the actual instant. Our math just doesn't cut it.
We haven't like figured out the weird symbol to use for whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Pi.
It
was pi this whole time.
it was pi.
Yeah. Pi. The answer of everything.
Yeah, and it was not the math term, but an actual like apple pie.
Yes.
Yes.
The answer is in the movie, the 1999 movie American Pie. It's in Jason Biggs' semen inside the pie. It all ties back.
Oh, they created a human pie hybrid.
Ooh, yeah. But yeah.
They never talked about
it. I'm thinking
that.
Of like your Lisa's tooth theory or whatever you're talking about earlier.
That's
the semen and Mrs. Chokes on Dick.
Yes.
Yeah, the South Park
rendition of that. Yeah.
So, all right. So maybe we didn't exist before American Pie and Jason Biggs humped a pie
and started
created
everything.
Us. Yeah, that's how the universe began. That's the Big Bang.
We should be holding him in higher regard then. Like,
we should.
Why did we not give him more credit?
Yeah. Jason Biggs, if you listen to this, come on the podcast, bring Shannon Elizabeth. with you.
And we will praise you for creating the universe.
Yeah.
And potentially many others because of your Big Bang.
Yeah. And your dad, too. Eugene Levy, bring him.
Oh, hell yeah.
I bump shoulders with Shannon and Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. She's great. Really? She's amazing. She moved to South Africa. She, like, saves rhinos and stuff. She's amazing. She's
her.
Yeah, she was on Big Celebrity Big Brother this past season, and they booted her out very quickly.
I was with you. It was at Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was there with... Hold on. She had a little dog, and then she had gotten up from her table, and we were going somewhere else. And all of a sudden, behind me, I hear, like, some big guy saying, "Oh, move aside, and she... bumped my shoulder as she was walking by and she was leaving.
You should have sent me an immediate text message saying, "Hey, Shane Elizabeth's here," and I would have fucking got in my teleportation device from the fly, prepared there, and I would have shook her hand and then went back in and
you would
went
have
home.
Shown up as like Jeff Goldblum, like hybrid of human and fly.
Mosquito. I'd be like a human mosquito. Like, "Hi, Shane Elizabeth." And she's like, "Oh my god, it's a fucking giant mosquito." She's like, spot me. And then she's like, "Oh my god, I love animals. Sorry, I can't kill you. I didn't mean to hurt you." I'm like, "It's okay, Shane Elizabeth. You're great. You're amazing. Yeah. You're also on Scary Movie," and she's in a lot of great movies. She's a great actress.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shane Elizabeth. Come on the podcast and tell us about your time being created by the Big Bang, I guess.
It would be mind-blowing if any of the people that we invite on the podcast via our various episodes actually came on.
Yeah, Maria Shriver, always invited.
Arnold,
David Duchovny, his teacup. What's underneath the teacup? Who knows?
David Duchovny, please come on and bring your teacup.
What's underneath a teacup doesn't exist until he releases it.
Yes.
Oh, because simulation.
It has to be observed.
It could be like old Greg. It could be like a beam of light. We don't know.
Vagina.
Yeah.
I would love it if David Duchovny came on the podcast. Yeah. That would be like the ultimate.
Bring your guitar. Sing one of your songs. We'll, I don't know. Yep. We'll like give you a shout out, a plug.
We'll just praise your name.
Yeah. Go to davidduchovny.com. That probably is a thing, right?
Sure. Bring Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, bring her and Skinner. What is it? Mitch Pileggi?
Pileggi?
Pileggi? I don't know. I've never heard his name said in real life.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but Mitch something.
I need this. Bring that Mitch kid too.
Pretty sure that kid's like in his 40s now.
Bring him. I don't care. We don't age discriminate on this, but we're progressive.
That's true.
Yeah.
We are.
You can be 87 for all I care.
Ooh, we should have Peter Dinklage on the
podcast. Oh, yeah. Too. If you're the same social circles as Peter Dink, bring him on.
Please bring him on.
We have so many questions to ask him.
You have a lot more questions than I do, and I think yours are mostly inappropriate.
We might have to pause, and I'll come back with my notebook filled with questions. Or I'll just save it to when the Dink is here. So we await your arrival. We'll pay for the air flight. I will gladly pay for the air, like wherever you're coming from. I don't even care if you're coming from Australia.
Yeah.
He's there filming Lord of the Rings or something. I don't know.
Game of Thrones?
One of those things.
Those mystical things with dragons?
Yeah, same difference.
Okay.
It involves, it's old-timey.
But somehow in the future?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's just Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't know. Game of Thrones could be in the future. The world could have reset itself.
Yeah. I feel like...
Maybe Trump... damaged us so bad that...
And that's why winter is coming.
Yeah. So global warming is real. And by global warming, we just mean like everything is going to melt.
Over.
We're going to flood. And then...
Ooh, water worlds.
Yeah. Shout out to... Don't go chasing water worlds. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
If the world starts flooding, you know where you got to go.
Where?
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest. Oh. That's the only piece of dry land in Waterworld. They cut it out in...
It's been so long since I've seen
it. So they have two different endings to that movie. And
I can't even handle the real ending.
So the real ending, I think the original ending is the one with the plaque. So when he goes sailing off and the woman and the girl climb up on the hill to like wave goodbye to see him sail off into the sunset and whatever, as the camera's panning out, they look down and there's a plaque right by their feet and it says so-and-so first man to climb Mount Everest. Oh. And then in the other edition, whatever, the one that they always have available on like Amazon and whatever, just completely negate that part where they look down at the plaque. So it's the same scene, just without them looking at the plaque. So it doesn't have the big meaning that it was supposed to originally.
Oh.
And that, like, totally makes the movie for me, is that they look down and they're like, oh, this is Mount Everest. And it's like, oh, that's why it's the only piece of freaking dry land.
We should watch Waterworld tonight and then come back and do, like, a review of the movie. And Last Action Hero, like a double creature, double feature.
Yes! It's all, like, cloudy outside. And
I know,
only,
it's
like,
cold. We're in, cloudy
around,
South
so.
Carolina. It's raining. And,
yeah,
like, so the geese are staring at us, like, creepily right now. They're like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, seriously, they're judging us. Yeah. We have judgy
super
geese.
Judgy geese.
Yeah. super judgy Canada geese. Just waddling
around.
Not
Canadian around. Geese, Canada geese.
Canada geese is the appropriate term.
Let's
people.
Get that out of the way. We're a factual podcast, so we have to fax it. Okay, all right.
The facts of life.
Do we have any sexy summations of computer simulations? I think this is the part of the podcast. We should have like a theme song, like sexy sexy and summation, maybe?
Sexy.
Sexy summation?
Sexy summations. All right, we've already got Scientist Smackdown.
Yeah,
Conspiracy Corner.
Yeah, we love.
Well, the entire podcast is a Conspiracy Corner, let's be real.
We love new segments. If you have any like hot segments, things you want to hear.
I think Hot Scoop is yeah. a segment.
Send us an email or a tweet. What is it again? redwinemysteries@gmail.com yeah. or on Twitter @redwinemystery. Or send us a carrier pigeon.
Yeah, we also accept carrier pigeon, or you can fox us.
Fox us.
Yeah, oh yeah. Smoke signals. Any medium that you can communicate with.
Yeah,
anything.
Any form of communication. Find us on Facebook.
Yeah,
can post
find Bugs Bunny, and he'll do his weird little, like, underground tunnel thing to us.
Yep, he'll totally find us.
Go to Albuquerque.
Yep.
Anything. Do like a skywriting over Los Angeles and have like someone like take a picture of it and be like, what's this mean? Yeah. And we'll find it because it'll be on like Yahoo News.
It'll come up in our Facebook news feed because Facebook just constantly listens to everything you say.
Yeah.
Isn't skywriting just elaborate chemtrails?
Uh-oh.
We're closing in on our next episode.
Yeah,
I think
all right. So I think we got enough of computer simulation.
Yeah, does our scientist have anything to add?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is if we're living in a simulation, I hope we are.
Oh, is that in reference to being on this podcast and you hope it was just a simulation and not real?
All right, so I read something yesterday about this because I Googled this really quick. I was on a message board, someone was talking about it, and they were saying, you know that thing that, I think it was on Oprah, like the thing called The Secret, where you like wish something into existence? Like, you're saying, like, I want a beach body by July. And if you, like, if you keep saying it to yourself and, like, working towards it, you reach that goal.
Okay.
Someone was saying that was proof of a computer simulation theory.
Oh, so, like, just because you keep saying it, it works it into the programming?
Yes.
Ooh.
Or whoever's pulling all the levers is just, well, if you're a sim and you keep putting, a water droplet above your head to simulate that you're thirsty... Whoever is running the simulation is going to be like, oh, I got to make sure this person has water.
Yeah, and like, so, it's just like, ooh. I want to be a Brooklyn Dodger. Is that a thing? Is that a sports thing?
Yes.
I don't know. I want to be a Brooklyn Dodger. And they're like, oh, he wants to be a Brooklyn Dodger.
Brooklyn
and the
Dodgers don't exist anymore, but
because
they moved to L.A.
I'm thinking 1937, Los Angeles. That's where I live.
Oh. In your simulation.
Gretchen Mol and I. We're just like driving along in our like... old-timey car, going to see a Joan Crawford movie. Just having
She's
fun.
She's wearing her flapper dress.
Yeah, her flapper dress, doing like a fun dance, getting her eyebrows done.
Did they do that in
1970? Yeah, she had fucking crazy eyebrows. Google her eyebrows.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fucking fierce. Look at them.
Okay.
Look it up. Lookitup.com.
Somebody had fun with that character creation.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Someone spent a lot of time in that, like, that avatar creation. They're like, boom. Like, pointed up a little that way, a little to the right. Oh, too thick. Make it a little thinner. Ooh, too thin.
All bars to the right.
Yeah, all bars to start over. Ooh, okay. That's why she was, like, 60 years old and looked like a 30-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. Because her lever puller was just, you know what? Let's just keep this bitch going.
She's going to keep young forever.
Until she dies in the 70s. Until we had enough and we wanted to like do someone hotter.
Aw.
I'm trying to think of someone that begat in the 70s. I don't... Okay.
Don't look at me. Yeah. You're supposed to be the one that's like an expert at this
Goldie
shit.
Goldie Hawn? I don't know. All right. Well, I think that's enough for computer simulations. We have a headache. We might just have to decompress and go into our decompression chambers.
It might be nap time and Waterworld watching time.
Yeah, or record another episode.
That too.
After a lengthy pee break. Because there's something that we want to talk about. We have, Jason teased it earlier.
It's true.
And
we
finally have to get it off our chest. We've been talking about it for weeks. I don't know why we don't keep talking about it though.
We really need to, because this is like a major issue. They even brought it up on a recent episode of The X-Files.
Yes, a hot new one. A hot new episode.
And I'm pretty sure they've talked about it on old episodes too. Like, so this is a recurring theme, and I'm pretty sure that they were actually trying to reach out to us and go, hey, you're supposed to finally do this now because this is a sign you really need to talk about it.
The time is now. Whatever you're doing right now, if you're in your car, look up in the sky. If you're inside, walk outside for a hot second, look up.
Hold your breath.
Yeah, hold your breath. Look up. Wherever you are, look in the sky, and you're going to see a thin layer, like just a little thin trail, basically, chemicals.
Yep.
Chemtrails.
Chemtrails.
What are they? What are they doing to us?
Are they controlling our minds?
Yes.
Is it something, some government conspiracy?
What are they made of? We need to know. And we're finally gonna get down to it. We're gonna get to the nitty gritty. Our science expert here is gonna smack us down. He's
serious knowledge about chemtrails.
He's got a whole fucking book about chemtrails, and we're gonna get down to it next week. We're gonna do it.
Yep.
And peace out. Yeah. Watch the skies for chemtrails.
Always believe.
Always. And MulderPoster.gif.
Yes.
Peace out.
Deuces.
I was waiting for you to say that.